If you're thinking about it, she's talking about it. Join the conversation at 203-333-9422. The Lisa Wexler Show, WICC 600.
Well, I'll tell you one thing we've learned. Welcome back to the show, and that is we always knew how dependent we are on power. I mean, frankly, if we weren't on power, what would we be, a third world country? We're a first world country. We're entitled to lights and a refrigerator, at the very least, not to mention an air conditioner in the summer. That's what it means to be a first world country. But I think that this also tells us how over time we've been sold a bill of goods in terms of the economies of combining our networks to, for example, Optimum Online, the three-way service. So it's phone, it's television, and it's broadband cable, right? So we're the three-in-one in our home. But for many, many years, my 9960 number for about 27 years was an old-fashioned telephone pole landline. It took me a while to finally give it up kicking and screaming because, you know, my husband didn't want to have to pay another, you know, whatever it was, $35 to $50 a month just to have a landline and security. We gave that up. The broadband television cable thing is something that's gotten so expensive over time. We're spending more than $200 a month now, I think, for the TV component. And it's sort of ridiculous because there's nothing to watch anyway. So I think over time, a lot of these privately held companies have consolidated our connections with the grid. But at the same time, let's just talk as a society. How responsive are they in a crisis? Never. Never. I'm not talking Eversource. I'm talking the wireless and the broadband and the Cablevision and the Optimum Online. Good luck finding a human being even when your power is on. When your power is off, you can't find them at all. And they don't have the same regulatory accountability. I know that Eversource doesn't have much, but it has some. At least we have a public utility regulatory authority. What authority have we got over broadband, cable, and wireless? 203-333-9422. Maybe Jonathan Steinberg, our next guest, can answer the question. Jonathan represents Westport, which is crying. I can hear and feel the tears of my town. Jonathan, welcome to the show today. Hello.
Good morning, Lisa. And I want to say, gee, has radio ever been more important now that most people can't connect to get information because they even their Verizon cell towers aren't working? You become really important, not that you weren't before, Lisa, but radio is our conduit to what's going on in the real world.
Absolutely. And I have to just say that the owner of Connoisseur Media, incidentally, lives in Westport, Jonathan. He's one of your constituents.
And I know him.
And he has made a great concerted effort to keep all of the stations here as local and as open throughout COVID and everything else as possible. That's why I'm able to broadcast to you today, because during COVID, I've been at home, no problem. But when I didn't have power, I made the decision to come into the studio because even though the entire building is dark, this part of the universe, the broadcast part of the universe, is fed with enough power in case of emergency. And that's due to our owner, frankly, and his commitment to broadcasting. That's what it's about.
Well, you're certainly right that Westport is suffering. We've had on a per capita a higher percentage of outages than virtually any other town in the state. And it's only slowly dawning on people that this storm, which didn't seem to be as much when it came roaring in as compared to Sandy or Irene, is comparable in terms of its effects. I think people were surprised to see the number of big trees going down and the number of roads blocked. But I think it's only slowly dawning on folks that we're looking at an extended restoration here. This is not a couple days kind of thing. This could rival the week-long kind of delays in restoration that we've seen with those other big storms.
Jonathan, I think 203-333-9422, I think if it's a week, we'll be lucky in Westport. I spoke to our town engineer this morning, Pete Rakowicz, and he said that 90% of the infrastructure of Westport was destroyed and that it would take weeks for the infrastructure itself to be rebuilt. But at a minimum of a week, it seemed, before we would get wireless internet and even power. Now, hopefully that's a gradual thing. Like, hopefully tomorrow there'll be more power and the next day there'll be more power. But, you know, the difference between yesterday and today is zero. There are not more people on today than were yesterday, which is very unusual for a storm.
Well, I talked to Pete yesterday as well, and he reiterated the process. And just as we talk about COVID, about safety first. That's the approach the town is required to take. And they're still in what we call make safe mode, which is getting to the various blockages and the lines down and clearing them so that that Eversource can even do an assessment of what is going to be necessary, to what power networks to turn off while they do the work. And, you know, it's a very deliberate, conservative approach. I think Pete is trying to be conservative and setting expectations that it's going to take a while. But it also reflects the fact that Eversource partners with the local communities and is only as good as the local community's ability to apply resources to solve the problems. For example, today Eversource showed up with a number of crews, but only one MakeSafe crew and a couple of restoration crews. Well, that's good news, and maybe there's some restoration that can go on. But basically, the town was saying, oh, we need more MakeSafe crews because we're still only at that stage. We're not really at the stage yet where we can be doing a lot of restoration because they only have two crews available. Well, one could argue, you know, how many do you need most of the year? But they've got people on vacation because it's August. They've got people out sick. I don't know if it's COVID or not.
Can they bring them
back? They've only got two crews for the whole town.
Can't they bring them back? Can't they call people who might not physically be away from vacation and say, this is an emergency, can you work today?
It sounds logical, and I think you're raising an interesting point, Lisa, which is Pete's a pretty laid-back guy, but there's just not necessarily a sense of innovating. There is a sense of being very deliberate about doing things the right way, the way we've always done them, but I don't see necessarily any out-of-the-box thinking about it because of the magnitude of the problem, that perhaps we should freshen up our strategy to deal with the problem on the ground. I think there's an opportunity for us to be doing more restoration now. But again, I'm not an engineer. I'm not on the ground here. But it's hard to explain to people that for a significant number of people, they're not going to see restoration until late in the weekend, Monday, Tuesday, or longer. It is hard to explain sometimes. Well, people are frustrated.
Yeah.
They're already frustrated because of COVID.
Can some of the private contractors be properly supervised by the experts to do things in a responsible and safe way right now?
Yes, Lisa, that is part of the process. And I understand from Pete that they have applied to PURA and I think received permission to bring contractors in. But those contractors can only be applied in a limited context. There are certain things they can and can't do. So it really still falls on the town in partnership with Eversource to do some of this preliminary work to make sure the streets are safe and ready for the next stage. It's just that the widespread nature of this makes it seem as if two crews is just going to take forever to get us to that point. Certainly it's going to be a couple days more before they can really focus exclusively on restoration.
So wait a minute. We have a town of 28,000 people. And when you say two crews, you mean two trucks, each with two people in them, going around the town to what? To assess the street or to remove the trees or what?
My understanding is that the Make Safe program, as everyone describes it, is promulgated on the principle of making the situation in any particular place where a tree has fallen or wires have gone down safe for other people, whether they're contractors, whether it's Eversource, whether it's whomever, to be able to do further work. Safety comes first.
Right. So, for example, they have to make sure that the wire isn't alive, right? Right.
Right.
Okay.
They have to get to the point where they can even tell Eversource to shut down whatever system that wire is on.
And who makes that? Who does that? Who makes that assessment?
Apparently, those are the two town crews we have are the ones who are responsible for setting the stage for Eversource to even come in and do their work.
But wait a minute. Doesn't Eversource also decide what's safe for them to work on? You'd think that they would be, you'd think that Eversource would know whether or not a site is safe for them. Don't they have make safe crews too?
They do. And that's just it. They have to partner with the local crews to do that work. And, you know, it's not as if you could have two town crews work in some place and two Eversource crews working. There's an iterative aspect of this.
I see.
Which is that the town needs to prepare the scene, if you will, for Eversource to do their job. So, you know, with every unique situation that the town is able to address, then Eversource is able to do its work. But it's a very slow process given this widespread damage that has occurred in this case.
So that's the very big piece. That's the basic power. I was told this morning, so let me just give you another little wrinkle since you are the representative in Westport. So you know my other life, I'm the probate judge. And obviously, you know, we have hearings in court and, I mean, you know, we continue to move on. We're a court. We are physically located in Town Hall, Jonathan, but the system that we are on is a Wi-Fi system that is not the same as the rest of Town Hall. It's not my doing. It's just what Hartford decided that we would do. And that Wi-Fi system and network for our internal probate computers is connected to Cablevision, and which is completely and totally down. So we are, just so you know, probate court, we're there. I've got a full panoply of clerks answering phones, but go try and do business when you can't access your computer system. It's almost impossible. We're culling a lot of files.
We could have an entire show just on the problems of the probate system.
Yeah.
From funding to some
in other words, we are not normally antiquated. What I'm saying is right now we're hampered because we can't access Wi-Fi, and I was told that a huge tree fell in front of Town Hall on the way to Myrtle, like the huge one. You know, I forgot the name of that street, that little access street. You know the one I'm talking about, coming outside town where you make a left. And until that site gets cleaned up and picked up, there's no way that we can get Wi-Fi in our part of the building. I'm just letting you know. Very micro.
Well, there are stories across the town and the state. You know, we've got a tree down in our neighborhood. We have no expectation of getting power back anytime soon because it's a neighborhood tree. You know, we're at the tail end of one of the electrical networks in town that stems all the way from downtown and runs all the way up to the Merritt Parkway.
Oh, boy.
I think a lot of people are going to say, gee, if you could just fix this one thing, we'd be able to get back to normalcy. But the problem is there are literally hundreds of those situations right now.
Now, so right now, putting on your state legislative hat, we're chatting with Representative Jonathan Steinberg. Governor Lamont is blaming Eversource. And as it turns out, some documents were released that showed that Eversource grossly, they did this in 2011, incidentally, again, they grossly underestimated the potential impact of this storm, which meant that they were anticipating a maximum of what was it, like 500 crews instead of 2,500 crews? A maximum, pardon me, of 500 to 1,600 line crews instead of what will now be needed, which is 2,500 line crews. One of the frustrations of my audience is there seems to be no accountability for Eversource, and that they are accused by my audience of being grossly underregulated. What do you say to that as a state legislator? Are they grossly underregulated, and are there going to be any consequences or accountability for having grossly underestimated this storm?
Well, you know, meteorology is a science, but there's a lot of guesswork and assumptions built into it. This brings me back to my early years in the legislature when I was on the Shoreline Preservation Task Force that came about right after the Sandy or Irene storms, where we did a lot of investigating into the way in which our public utilities operated. And it was quite clear that that Eversource was cutting corners and not cutting trees. I mean, those are two major findings. And we obliged them to get into a tree cutting program, which I think was very robust at first, but probably has tailed off. And we really called them to task in terms of the resources they would have available. Their profits are pretty much guaranteed. The way that their rate structures are done, when they put forward rate cases, they're guaranteed a return on investment for infrastructure investment. So they've got a pretty good gig. And I will say that Eversource operates in Massachusetts as well. And to use a phrase, plays ball to a much greater degree in Massachusetts than it does in Connecticut. It's frustrating for us. I think that they are regulated at perhaps a sufficient level, but additional scrutiny is going to be needed. There will be legislative hearings on this. We will once again trot out the usual suspects. You know, I'm trying to think exactly what we're going to do differently to make sure this doesn't happen in the future.
Well, you
there's
know,
a certain amount of guesswork.
To me, it's about if you're going to get a rate increase, then you need to be forced to spend a certain percentage of that on a capital improvement plan that over time there will be and done properly, there will be an accretion and accrual of more underground lines, because Manhattan rarely loses power because of the fact that all the lines are underground. And the only reason
the number that we hear is $1 million a mile to underground lines.
Well, you know, that's ridiculous.
Think about the state of Connecticut.
You know what? That's
a
stupid number. Then we have to get that number down. That's a ridiculous number. We have to get it down.
Well, I will tell you one thing, that Pura, to its credit, with its new commissioner, Commissioner Gillette, has embarked upon a very ambitious grid modernization docket, which is very wide-ranging. They're well into it, but they're not near conclusions yet, which recognizes that if Connecticut is going to be competitive and maintain a quality of life, we have to make huge investments in grid infrastructure.
We do.
I
agree with her. I have to get her on the
show. Transformers and wires.
Totally.
To go in two directions.
Yep.
We have a lot of work to do. And what people are not going to want to hear is it's going to mean there are going to be additional charges and rate increases to pay for these things.
Yeah, but you see, if the rate increases are done towards something that all of us can see makes sense, that's one thing. But if it's just to do business as usual, that's what people really get upset.
Well, I've been pushing for greater transparency on electric bills so people understand what they're paying for.
Yeah.
That if they're going to get an extra charge for infrastructure upgrades, that benefit is made clear on their bills and they understand what they're going to get for it in the long term.
Yeah, I think
we have
no choice.
We must make these investments.
Because otherwise, every other home is having these incredibly noisy, ridiculous generators, and it becomes the individualistic every man for himself in times of crisis instead of what it should be, which is a collective responsibility so that all of us have power.
Never mind with all these generators due to the environment every time we have to use them.
Jonathan Steinberg, thank you so much for being on the show, representative of Westport. Keep us posted, okay?
You too, Lisa. We appreciate what you do.
Thank you. WICC 600. We'll be right back.